Welcome to Coffee with Kim. I'm Kim Kalp, and every week you and I sit down with fascinating, smart, and talented leaders, CEOs, and founders so that we can copy their homework. If someone knows how to do something really well, I want to know what it is and exactly how they're doing it. Get ready for aha moments, gems of wisdom, and little-known tips and tricks that we can steal and use in our own lives. If you want to join these conversations and ask these experts your own questions, no point in just me having all the fun. Join us on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern live over on LinkedIn.
Hey, friend. Happy Wednesday. It's so good to see you. I hope you've had an awesome start to the week. And I'm so thankful that you're joining today because, man, oh, man, as usual, we have a super great bunch here. I'll go first. I'm coming in from Austin, Texas, and I have some green tea provided by Shelby in my cup, which is tasty and delicious, but I'd love to know where you're coming in from and perhaps what caffeinated beverage of choice you've decided to spin the wheel with today. But you can join me and Jeff and Shelby and Benoit and just, you know, saying hi, pulling up a chair, cuddling in close. If you're with us live, I'm so excited. We're going to rock this out and share all of our favorite tips and tricks. If you are joining at a later date while you fold the laundry or do the dishes or walk the dog, we love that too. You can sit back, relax, and listen and absorb all of our goodness as if you were here with us live. And if you ever miss a session, then don't worry, because you can watch it on all of the platforms, the YouTubes, the LinkedIns, but you can also grab it on podcast form as well. So wherever you are, we're there too. Me and Jim, we're all there too. We're just coming to you in like the Mrs. Frizzle school bus. We're just going to load on in, drive down the road, and come join you. And if you don't get the Mrs. Frizzle reference, then you, my friend, are not a baby of the 80s. So, and for that, I feel sad because Miss Frizzle's magic school bus was really the place to be. Before we dig into today's topic, which is all about burnout, and I think it is so topical, I wanted to just give like a little backstory on why we decided on this bit today, or why really it resonated with me. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm having a little bit of like a poopy time or a little bit of a bad day, or I'm feeling a little down, I will wander the halls of some of my favorite establishments, such as Hobby Lobby, such as Home Goods, such as Michael's, such as Target. All my favorite places full of knickknacks and little trinkets and things that I absolutely do not need, but I like to go and look at. And as part of that, I stopped into a Hobby Lobby over the weekend, last week, and I was both happy and aghast that it was filled with Christmas things. Ornaments and garland and like make your own stocking and like crochet your own stuff. And first of all, I love a good craft. You'll find me in happiness land when it comes to a Hobby Lobby or a Michaels. However, at the sight of said items, I was sort of like, because it's not even Halloween. It's not even Thanksgiving. We haven't even entered November. I was being struck by the garland and the ornaments and the all of the decorations. And I don't know about you. Maybe like Aaron and Gil can chime in if you guys are seeing it where you are as well. But like, I don't know. I felt accosted. I felt like I love a good happy time. But the holidays and the fact that it was like already hitting me in the face just led me to kind of go into super speed. I'm glad that Jeff is like, Christmas before Halloween is a bit much. I agree too. It felt like a bit like a lot. And it sort of instead of leaving me in like a blissful Hobby Lobby experience, it led me getting into my car and like death gripping the wheel. I'm like, there's not enough time. There's so much to do before the end of the year. I have to make holiday cards. I mean, it sort of like spiraled me out. And then I thought it was quite funny. I wanted to hold up a little show and tell. I also got this from Shutterfly, reminding me that the early bird special is coming in 50% off all cards if you use the code before November 23rd. Sir, we're not even through October, okay? And it's accosting me in the mail and it's accosting me in Hobby Lobby. And so I just really felt like, okay, today, talking about burnout, talking about having too much on your plate, talking about overscheduling yourself, really felt like, huh, I need to take a spoonful of my own medicine and really perhaps sink in to some of these a bit more clearly for myself. I love that Gil's like, let's focus on Thanksgiving. Let's do that. Let's get out the candy to the kids first. Okay. Let's enjoy Halloween. Let's dress up and have more treats than tricks. Okay. So anyways, all that to say, I'm glad we are where we are. If you are new, if you haven't really joined us before, you will realize that all of us are collectively going to be sharing tips and tricks and strategies and templates and stuff that work for us. However, I feel that sometimes there are those of us who join, we're not going to point any fingers, but we see you, we know you're here with us, but there's no typing of the fingers. You know what I mean? You're back here leaning back, sipping on your beverage, not really saying much. And that's okay. We're okay with that. However, we would like at some point, one point or another, even if you throw in a little emoji, you know, even if you give us a thumbs up, even if you give us a like, even if you give us a reply, feels good. We feel you here. You know what I mean? So if you feel so compelled to actually share a strategy that works with you, bonus. But even just chiming in with a little like, it makes us feel like, okay, we're all in this together. So without further ado, we've already done part of the workshop agenda, which is meet me. Hi, I'm Kim. If we haven't met before, I'm super excited that you're here. We are going to really talk about like, what is burnout? I feel like sometimes when I say that phrase, I know exactly what it means, but sometimes other people don't really know what it means. So we're going to talk about what burnout really is and what the definition is. We're going to talk about questions that you can kind of ask yourself to check in. I'm going to let you in on some of the templates and tactics that I use and that, as Hobby Lobby has reminded me, I need to start using again. Probably as soon as like this weekend, to really help me feel like, okay, I have a handle on things. I know what's going on. I don't feel intimidated. I don't feel overwhelmed. And I don't wake up at 2 a.m. with my heart going crazy because, you know, the holiday cards haven't been submitted yet. So we don't want that. Nobody wants that. But just to kind of check in with everybody who's joining, and you heard me say like a little bit of wink, wink, give us a like, because listen, I just want to know if you're joining us, what is your current sort of overwhelmedness? That's not a word, but it is today. Overwhelmedness that you are feeling currently as we kind of head in, there's only 2 more days left in October. So as we kind of glide on in to next week is November, I just actually had somebody ask me for a call and they're like, let's talk the first week in November. And I was like, no, we have to talk before that. And they were like, that's Monday. And I was like, I had to do the finger guns at them. I was like, ooh, yeah, didn't realize that we're already into that. It's a little frightening. So what is your current overwhelmedness? Where are you at sort of on the scale of 1 to 10? Or if you are like Jeff, who's a 14 out of 10, or Shelby, who's a 12 out of 10, tens are just, no, we're off the chart of the overwhelmedness. The overwhelmedness just knows no bounds. I definitely feel it. I definitely feel like as we get towards the end of the year, a lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas start to like pile onto me, things that I feel like I should be doing or that I could be doing, or, you know, would I want to do, would I want to volunteer at, you know, for the turkey trot and all these sorts of things. And, I tend to say yes. I don't know if you're like me, but I tend to say yes to a lot of things because I don't know, I'm a nice person. I'm excited. It sounds interesting at the time. Good people are doing it or asking me. So I'm like, yeah, that's great. And then the day comes or the week comes or the month rolls around and I look at my calendar or I look at what I have to do today and I'm like, ah, and I just realize I've totally overcommitted. I've totally got more on my plate than I can handle. I'm totally feeling overwhelmed. It's just one of those things where it sort of sneaks up on you. And so I wanted to talk about when it does sneak up on you, like, what does that actually look like? And so I wrote these things down because, again, just from what I've seen with other executives and founders and people in business, I feel like there's four sort of main ways that burnout really shows itself. The first one is like the negative self-talk. I'm not good enough. I can't believe I didn't get to this. I haven't gotten a call back for this yet. I haven't found, you know, this thing that I'm looking for yet, this position, this client, this, you know, marketing proposal, whatever it is. So that sort of negative self-talk, the kind of talk track that we all have in our head starts to get a little more, not even neutral, but more negative. Fun fact, if this is you, if this is resonating, I just finished a book a couple of weeks ago, highly recommend it. It's called The Surrender Experiment. Cannot recommend it enough. You can do it on audiobook or you can read it. The Surrender Experiment. It is from the same guy, Michael A. Singer, who wrote The Untethered Soul. If you've ever heard of that book, it's quite popular. It's been like a bajillion week New York Times bestseller. So The Surrender Experiment, if you're in that sort of negative talk spiral, highly recommend if you haven't read it already. Feeling really distant from work, feeling like you're going through the motions, but it's feeling off, that sort of off, bad vibes feeling, the vibes are off. Feeling exhausted despite resting. So I have friends who are like, I got 8 hours of sleep and I am still feeling totally depleted, totally drained, totally overwhelmed. That is because not all stress is physical. A lot of our stress is mental. And so while we might say, okay, my body, you know, has gotten 8 hours of rest, my mind has not, because my mind is going like a hamster wheel. So really just not feeling rested at all. And just really feeling like, ugh, throw in the towel. I'm giving up, you know, screw it all. I'm going back to bed and waiting for tomorrow. Just feeling like do over, you know what I mean? Like just start it over. And so one of the things that I feel like when we start to get these feelings or these feelings start to bubble up or by the way, you feel them or somebody else feels them. I'm glad that we're like, thanks. I'll put that on my book list. Highly recommend The Surrender Experiment. So, so good. But what I find is that a lot of people do this one thing. And you also might be guilty of it. And it's like one of the biggest red flags that I see. And the big red flag is just telling yourself, I can outwork this. I can outwork this feeling. I can wake up earlier. You know, normally my alarm is set for 7. I'll set it for 6 so I can get the cupcakes done for the kids' Halloween party. Or I'll work late tonight. Okay, I know I said yes to that year-end report, but like they want the draft by next week. I'll just stay at the office till 9 p.m. tonight. Or I'll catch up over the weekend. I don't have time Monday through Friday, so I'll just do it during the weekend. Or you know what? I'll start up again next week. I'll get it all figured out. And when you find yourself saying any of these things to yourself, that is a big problem. That is a big red flag. It says, I am on a one-way train ticket to burnout. There is a first class seat for you on the burnout train, on the burnout bus, and you're in the front seat, my friend, and you are going straight to burnout land, for better or for worse. And so that's when we really have to kind of say, whoa, hold the phone, you know? And by the way, this could be you, or this could be others. This could be a friend. This could be a work colleague. This could be your partner. This could be your spouse. It could be your kids. It could be your mom, your cousin, your brother. You know, we've heard these phrases from people. Hey, I have to cancel dinner tonight. I got to stay late at the office. Hey, I can't make it this weekend. Turns out I got to go to the office on a Sunday to catch up. You know, it could be other people, but you are still feeling this. You are still experiencing this through other people. So either you or someone else. And you cannot outwork this feeling. We just have to deal with it head on. So let's talk about how we can deal with it head on. First of all, we have to stop in our tracks. I think a lot of times, again, when this starts coming up, our solution is like mush forward. We're like, I don't know, we're like dogs in the dog sled. We're like, keep going. And my husband calls it like white knuckling it. I'm like, I will make this work. Like, I will just get no sleep and I will do all the things. And you just sort of white knuckle it and be like, oh, like, you know. And when you start to feel that, because you feel it in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, you're like, okay, I'm feeling the white knuckles coming. What I have found to be the most helpful is you just need to like stop, like recognize that it's happening and stop. Then you have to physically get yourself in another location. Like literally pick yourself up and say, if I'm in my office, I'm going to head to the kitchen. If I'm at my desk at work, I'm going to head to the break room. If I'm, you know, at a client meeting, I'm going to walk out to my car and just sit in my car for a second. So change your location, number one. Once you're in that new location, really sit down and think to yourself. And by the way, if you're at a location where you're like, kind of, you're in a break room at the office and you don't feel like, oh, this is maybe not the safest space to be like voicing my frustrations or letting out all the things that are bothering me, get to somewhere that is, and just ask yourself, like, how did I get here? And notice we put the little onions on this slide because you might be crying, maybe crying as you white knuckle and realize like, how have I gotten here? I've said yes to too much, or I have stressed myself out. So really ask yourself, how did I get to this spot? I want you to ask yourself these questions, and then I want you to make a list with the answers. So the first list I want you to make is, where is your time being spent? Really think about this. If it has to do with work, if it has to do with personal, because again, when you're in your feelings, when you're white knuckling, when you're like, oh, I am overwhelmed, I am feeling burnout, like, really stop and be like, okay, wait a second. Is this 80% work and 20% home? Is this 50% home because one kid is sick and the other kid's going to band camp and I volunteered with the PTA? And, you know, figure out kind of in your world, whether that's work or home, or let's be honest, with the holidays coming up, family, your mom, your cousin, your aunt is asking you to make half of the meal for Thanksgiving or host it at your house. And you're like, I don't want 17 people at my house. So, you know, literally get to a new location. As Jeff has said, lift and shift, literally lift yourself up, make a physical shift to a new location, and really say to yourself, where is my time? Where is this stress coming from? Where is it coming from? Where is my time being spent? Once you kind of brain dump, okay, it's this, I want you to then make a to-do list or look at your existing to-do list. Totally brain dump. Because again, a lot of times we're holding a lot of stuff up here. We're saying, okay, I have to get that Thanksgiving recipe. I have to make sure it's gluten-free because Cynthia isn't having gluten anymore. And the 16 people that are coming over, I don't have enough chairs. And where are the tables? And do I even have enough plates? Do I have 16 sets of plates? Okay, I need to buy paper plates, which means I need to go to Costco. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just stop. Like I said, get to another location, and then really brain dump. Write down everything. Where are the stresses coming from? And then what are the to-dos that are from those stresses? So again, using an example, let's say it's Thanksgiving and your aunt has just asked you to host. She's sick or she has something going on. She usually hosts Thanksgiving. She wants you to host all 16 family members for Thanksgiving. And you are spiraling. Can I even host 16 people? Do I have 16 chairs? Do I need to get a 6-foot, you know, plastic table? Okay, that means I need to go to Costco, or I need to ask a friend or a neighbor if they have a card table that I can use to pop up to the end of my kitchen table. So again, writing down all these things on a physical piece of paper and a pen. I'm gonna die on this hill, because I really feel like as great as these phones are, as great as all the digital stuff is, there is something about getting into a paper and a pen and writing out everything and getting into those details that makes a huge difference. So like Erin said, you know, put away the electronics, just really kind of get into the to-do list if you can. Next, I want you to look at that to-do list and really think about what is triggering the burnout. What is triggering the stress? And again, you're gonna have a long to-do list. And by the way, because you're brain dumping, that's gonna have things from work. That's gonna have things from your personal life. That's gonna have things from your family. That's gonna have things for you personally. Maybe you gotta go to the dentist before the end of the year. Maybe you have to use up your FSA or your HSA plan before the end of the year. You know, whatever, all those different things that are floating around in your head, you're going to put on one giant piece of paper and say, where is this burnout coming from? Like, which things are really causing the white knuckle stress, whatever that is. Maybe the work stuff isn't, it's a lot, but it's not bothering you as much as your aunt asking you to host 18 people for Thanksgiving dinner. Like, that's really where the stress is coming from. So try to pinpoint where exactly it's coming from. And then what I would like for you to do is set aside time on your actual calendar to deal with it. Because again, I feel like what happens a lot of times, I'm just going to keep using this example of like having 18 people over to your house, is it lives in here. It lives in our body and it lives in our mind. And we sort of like, okay, and then what about the plates and what about the silverware and how am I going to make enough food? And if I make enough food, if I make enough mashed potatoes, do I even have enough bowls to put the mashed potatoes in? You know, like all these things, you know, that are kind of churning around in your mind over and over again. What you actually need is time on your calendar to sort through and deal with those things. So we need to actually create an hour or 30 minutes or 15 minutes or 45 minutes, whatever you can kind of set aside for yourself and say, okay, I'm going to set aside 45 minutes on Sunday to really dig into these 18 people for Thanksgiving. And if I'm able to do it, what help I need to ask for and able to do it, what things I'm going to need, what things I have versus what things I don't have, you know, really making time to solve that problem. Because I think what happens is we think that the problems, again, we can kind of outwork and figure it out. Oh, I'll deal with that next week and la, 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 la. But you really need to set up time for yourself to sink in and deal with that. So set up time on your actual calendar. And then most importantly, do not cancel it. Treat it like it's a proper meeting with another human. And just like you wouldn't cancel a meeting with another human, you're not going to cancel this meeting for yourself, because you've heard me say time and time again, I know you've heard this time and time again, but I will remind you one more time, you cannot pour from an empty cup. If you are exhausted, if you are burnt out, if you are stressed, you are half as good as you normally are. You are depleted. There is nothing else for you to pour out, because there is nothing left in your cup. So taking time to actually solve what is making you depleted will allow your cup to refill, and then you are able to pour from it in a better, more constructive way. So really having a plan, like Erin is saying, you know, have a plan, put together a plan, but making time to create that plan is really half the battle. And do not skip it. Don't say, oh, well, I know I told myself that I would spend 30 minutes trying to figure out Thanksgiving, but I really have to pick up the kids from soccer and then I have to go home and make dinner. So no. You have to create time for yourself and you have to keep it. You cannot continue to cancel on yourself. It does no good to anyone. So when you get into that meeting with yourself, the first thing I want you to do is pull up your brain dump to-do list. So that long list you made of all the things, of the work things, of the personal things, of the holiday things, of the family things or the kids things, like pull it all up. Pull up that crazy, crazy, huge brain dump list that you made. I want you to put a star next to the things that only you can do. Only you. And I'm going to give you some examples of those. Only you can log into your bank account because you have the username and the password. Only you can call the electric or the gas company or the water company because you're the one on the utility bill. Those are things that only you can do. Other things like bake cupcakes for the kids' Halloween party or figure out how to get a 6-foot card table for the 18 people my aunt wants me to host on Thanksgiving, or figure out the slides for the sales meeting. Those things don't necessarily have to be you. That could technically be somebody else. So put a star next to the things that only you can do. Not one other person. If you got hit by a bus, those things could not continue. But I don't hope that you get hit by a bus. But if you did get hit by a bus, what other thing? If you got hit by a bus, they'd figure out the cupcakes for the kids' Halloween party. And if you got hit by a bus, your aunt would figure out how to get a card table for Thanksgiving. And if you got hit by a bus, you better believe your work would have somebody else figure out the sales meeting slides. Probably one of the hardest lessons I ever learned at corporate. The wheel keeps spinning, even if you're not there. Even if you think my work values me so much, it couldn't possibly go on without me. It can, it will, and it does. It can, it will, and it does. It goes on without you. So figure out the things that only you can do. Everything else that doesn't have a star, I want you to figure out what other humans in your household, in your office, your close friends, whatever, what other humans can help you with those things? Who else can help? Like Rachel is saying, you know, can you look at that to-do list and say, maybe my mom can help me do these things? Maybe my partner, maybe my best friend, maybe my coworker, maybe my colleague, maybe my client. Another human in your life, just brainstorm who those other humans are that could help you with those things. And then I want you to really dig in and think, how can people help me with these items? So I've thought about it. My mom might be able to help, my best friend, my coworker, and my colleague. Then I look through all the things that are on my to-do list that are not starred. And I think to myself, who can I assign to do these various things? Can my sales slides actually get completed by my coworker or my colleague? They're not going to be as good and they're probably not going to be as beautiful as when I did them myself, but they could actually get it done if they wanted to. And could my mom help bake the cupcakes for the kids' Halloween party? Or could my uncle figure out with my aunt how to host 18 people for Thanksgiving? What other humans can tackle what other things from your list? And then probably the question that I get asked the most when I talk about this is really, how do we get those people to help us? And there's no easy answer to that other than you have to ask them. Yeah, I know. Crazy. You have to actually ask them for the help. You have to call them. You have to text them. You have to email them. And you have to say, I need help. I'm stranded. Come help me. come rescue me. I am drowning in a creation of my own making. And now I would like your help to get out of it. Once we actually ask, which I know is like the hardest part, nobody wants to ask. Oh, I feel weird asking my coworker to make the slides. I feel bad asking my uncle to help with my aunt. I feel bad, you know, this whole, so I feel bad. I feel, get over yourself. Literally, I say that with the tough love because I love you. Get over yourself. You got to be able to ask for help. You got to be able to wave your hand in the air and ask for a life raft. You know, the lifeguard doesn't know you're drowning until you start shouting and waving. You know what I mean? David Hasselhoff is not going to jump into the water and swim out with you to find that you're swimming there perfectly fine. Okay. Some panic has to set in. Got to wave your arms and flag somebody down for help. So, you know, going back to that conversation we just had last week with Goldie, you know, you have to verbalize that you're drowning. You have to say it out loud. I am drowning. Help me. Now, most people then say, okay, Kim, I got it. I will ask my colleague. I'll ask my coworker. I'll ask my friend. I'll ask, you know, a trusted resource, a mentor. But like, what do I say to them? Okay, I get that I have to, like, how do I ask for help? What does that look like? I want you to copy this exact template. Just copy and paste, because I never want to hear you say that again. It's literally two sentences, three sentences, two sentences and one question. A question counts as a sentence, three sentences. It says, I'm experiencing overwhelm and burnout. True. I said yes to one too many things, and I'm hoping you can help me. Also true. Can you please help me X by Y? Can you please help me figure out Thanksgiving in the next 2 weeks before Thanksgiving? Can you please help me with the kids' bake sale stuff for the Halloween party before Friday? Because Friday is Halloween. So literally, this is a template that you can steal. So again, as an example, I'm overwhelmed and I need help getting back to equilibrium. The good news is I've identified exactly what's overwhelming me. Would you be up for helping me? Again, template. Steal it. Send it to your friend. Send it to your colleague. Send it to your coworker. Unless they are a heathen, they will respond and say, oh my gosh, you're overwhelmed. Like, how can I help? What can I do? Like, you know what's overwhelming you. What is it? What could it possibly be? You know, you're leaving them at the edge of their seats. So you can literally, like Jeff is saying, Mad Libs, I am giving you the template. You can literally just cut, copy, paste, and insert your own thing, your own request in there of ways to ask for help. Now, when you ask for help, there are good ways to ask for help, and there are bad ways to ask for help. And I know this because I've done all the bad things. I've asked for help in all the bad ways. And what I mean by that is somebody has said they will help you. So you're like, yay, like someone's going to help me. And then you can't even give them really good directions or ways to help you. Because again, you're just kind of white knuckling and you're like Thanksgiving. And you can't even, again, that's why we stop and we do the to-do list. That's why we stop and brain dump. Like, you need to actually be able to say, okay, the things that I'm struggling with are, how are we going to have seats for 18 people when I only have six at my house? You know, where are the other 12 chairs coming from? The tables, where are we getting the tables from? The bowls for the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the green beans and the cornbread, like, where are those coming from? So like, you also have to get really clear, which is why we do like the to-do list and like getting clear about what it is. You also want to be really clear about deadlines, really clear about deadlines. Because if you just say like, help me, and I need help, and there's no like clear direction or deadline, people don't know, like, should I have some pep in my step? Do you need help? Like, ASAP Rocky, like you need help by Friday because Friday's Halloween and those cupcakes need to be baked, or this is not until Thanksgiving, you need help, but Thanksgiving is 3.5 weeks from now. So I don't have to have a pep in my step. We have 3.5 weeks to kind of figure this out, to bend and flow. So clear deadlines, detailed instructions. You're smart. I know that about you. You are very smart. You already know things to do. We have to assume that the people around us, and by the way, we love them. We love the people around us. We love our spouse. We love our kids. We love our family. We love our coworkers. We love our colleagues. We have to assume that they are dumb. We have to assume that they are dumb. We cannot say, I need you to run the dishwasher. We have to say, under the sink, there are Tide Pods. I need you to get out one of those pods. I need you to put it in the dishwasher. I need you to also put the finish, whatever that liquid is to make the dishes look nice. And I need you to put those in, and then I need you to press start on the normal setting. It should be about 3 hours. You know that in your head. You know, if you tell yourself, load the dishwasher, you already know to put the pod in. You already know to put the liquid in. You already know to put it on a normal cycle. We have to assume people know nothing. Blank slate. Zero knowledge. So really detailed instructions. And then most importantly, the best way to reach you. Okay? Because inevitably things will go wrong and people need to know how they can reach you because they're helping you. They're figuring out something for you, but you also might have to help them back. You might have to help them help you. You know what I mean? So they need to figure out how they can get in touch with you. So what does that look like? So again, clear deadlines. If you are working on those sales meeting slides, you have to say, and you know, by the way, that the presentation is Friday. So you want to get the slides finalized by Thursday. And you want at least 2 days to go back and forth because they're not going to be perfect. You know that. You have to say to someone, can you get me the 15 slides by Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern? Notice I even gave you a time zone because I work with LA clients and I've been burned one too many times by, can you get me that in the morning? And then I'm working off New York time and it's noon and I'm like, tickety-tock. And it's only 9 a.m. for them. And they're like, yeah, I said I'd get it to you in the morning. Oh, no. I meant the morning New York time. I did not mean the morning your time. So really clear. really clear. Clear deadlines. Next up, clear instructions. Like Janelle is saying, you can even provide photos to make sure that they're doing things correctly. So really, you can be like, this is how you put the pod in the dishwasher, you know, picture of dishwasher pod area, like really detailed, write down those directions. Like you're telling someone how to fly a plane. Exactly. Like really as clear as humanly possible. So again, as an example, let's say it's a to-do list item for around the house. You might say to someone, you will need to take both the trash and the recycling to the far curb where the neighbor's driveway is. Because again, you know that the trash guy, he doesn't come all the way down your street. He kind of stops at your neighbor's house. And if you don't drag those bins all the way by your neighbor's driveway, they sometimes forget to pick them up. Again, you know that. That's already in your brain. But this other person who's helping you, your cousin, your mom, your next door neighbor, your friend, they don't know that. They don't know about your trash guy. They don't know that it has to be at the end of a certain driveway. So as much as possible, really detailed instructions. Again, these could be written. These could be verbal. You could provide pictures. You know, whatever it is, just as detailed as possible. Or I love this point that Rachel makes. You can also use a program called Loom. If you're trying to show something to someone on a computer, let's say you're trying to show them how to log into your email or how to log into a system server to do a certain thing. You can do a screen recording with your voice and your narration and your face, and it also captures the screen, and you can literally show them step by step how to do what you're asking them to do. And then last but not least, the best way to reach you. So you can say, thanks for helping me with those slides, or thanks for helping me with the cupcakes, or thanks for helping me figure out Thanksgiving. You know, if you have any questions, you know, text me. I'm around all day except from 1 to 2 p.m. when I'll be driving. Because again, one of the things I find is people say like, yeah, call me if you have any questions. And then they don't realize, oh, actually, I'm at a conference. I'm at a conference all day, which is why you're helping me do these things, because I'm not there to do it myself. You can't call me. I'm in the middle of a conference. You got to text me. Oh, and by the way, I'm at a conference. And then from 1 to 2 o'clock is the mandatory networking session. So I'm going to be up talking to people. I can't be texting you in the corner, or I can't be on the phone with you. So again, really saying not just the best way to reach you, not just, oh, call me if you need me, you know, give me a ring if you have any trouble, but really what might they be having trouble with? You know, when do they need to text you, or could they call you? And is it only during certain times? Do you have school pickup? Do you have drop off? Do you have a meeting, a Zoom that's already on your calendar that they won't be able to reach you? You know, really get detailed. And I'm glad that Noit is asking this question about, is it not easier to do it yourself? Which is a total classic move for a lot of us that are go-getters and perfectionists. It's like, oh, I don't want to ask somebody else to do it because then I'll just do it myself. The good news is once you have those directions already like drawn up, like, okay, let's say you did the step-by-step instructions on how to load the dishwasher or whatever it is, you now have those forever. So not only could you use them in this instance, but 5 weeks from now, when you also need to ask for help with that again, you already have it done. You can say, here, I already asked you for this. There's a great book, if you haven't already read it, Benoit, that I think you would really enjoy. And it is from Jenny Blake. And I believe it's called Free Time. Free Time. Jenny has many books. So you'll excuse me for not always remembering which one is which, but Free Time is such a great one. She talks about this nonstop. She talks about these repeatable systems. I think it's so genius. I've implemented so much of it. I know Shelby and I have implemented so much of her work in our work life, but I've also implemented a ton in my personal life as well. I really find it to be so helpful. So if you haven't done that already, I would put that maybe on your, again, your audio list or your reading list, because I think that that's super helpful. And I love this point about how clarity really guarantees efficiency. It really guarantees that, you know, a lot of times when we ask people for help, but we're not giving them clear deadlines, or we're not giving them clear instructions, or we're not giving them ways to reach us, their help actually isn't as valuable. Like, we're frustrated. Like, we're like, oh, I asked for your help, but like, you know, why you haven't gotten me the sales slides for 2 days. Okay, well, you didn't tell them you needed it on a certain day. So really getting as clear as possible can be huge, huge. Because at the end of the day, no one can read your mind. No one can read your mind. Nobody can know what you're thinking. You have to be able to articulate exactly what you want done, exactly the way you want it done every single time if you're going to ask for help. And you want the help to be meaningful, which obviously we all do. So again, copy this. I want you to copy it word for word. It follows all of these instructions. Because someone has said to you, yeah, Kim, I'm happy to help. Happy to help you with those sales meeting slides. Happy to help you by taking out the garbage. Happy to help you by walking your dog or whatever it is. You say, thanks for agreeing to help. I need XYZ done. This is like the Mad Libs, like Jeff said. I need, you know, the sales slides done by Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern. I usually do this by first, again, opening up Canva, plopping in all of the copy. And then if I need to, I'll ask somebody else to put some eyes on it. But honestly, I'll take any help I can get. If you want to do it a different way, you know, let me know. Text me on my cell if you need me. I'm around all day today and tomorrow, but I leave the following day for a work trip. So again, you're being really specific about your schedule and availability to help. You're being really specific about what they can help with and when and how exactly you do it. And again, you have to be open that they might not do things exactly the way you do them. And that's okay too. That's fine. Again, I feel like being able to ask for help in this way is really powerful. And it's something that I have just fallen back on time and time again. And, you know, as we kind of coast into the holidays, as we coast into November and December, I want that freedom for you too. I also don't want you white knuckling, running around being like, you know, I want you to feel like, okay, I have a way to ask for help. I have a way that somebody can help me. I know what I'm going to do when I start to feel that anxiety and that pressure going on. I'm going to, I forgot what it was, Jeff, lift and sit. You know, I'm going to go in the other room. I'm going to brain dump everything out of my mind. I'm going to think about who can help me and how they can help me, you know, really just refocusing. Or, you know, like Shelby says, a fresh set of eyes, like even just giving this over to somebody else. Again, I'll share this as like a personal anecdote, but like a lot of times when I do this exercise and I write down, you know, on my paper to-do list here, kind of all of my stuff, sometimes I'll actually share it with my husband, like over dinner. You know, he'll be like, how's your day going? And I don't always do it gracefully. Sometimes it's like, do you want to see how my day's going? That's up to 62 things. It's not graceful. You know, I would like to say, well, honey, life has been a little busy, as you can see by my lovely to-do list here with 62 things on it. Sometimes it's a little more passionate than that, and that's okay. But sometimes he will take a look at those 62 things and he will look at it and say, like, Kim, I think it's lovely that you volunteered for our church's can drive. But out of all the things that are on your to-do list, that one's got to go, you know? So he'll also kind of be that fresh set of eyes to give me a gut check on like, you know, maybe you have to tell them you can't actually help with the can drive. Just you thought you could, And then your husband looked at your list and was like, actually the can drive has got to go, you know, lift and shift. We gotta really just look at that list in a whole new way with a fresh pair of eyes and be like, can dry is not happening. So really kind of having that extra person to kind of look at things or look at it with you makes a huge difference. I have a whole course on this. It's a mini course. I think the whole thing is like 15 minutes or 16 minutes, but it has more templates and sort of more little actionable steps. You and I just did this together, so this is not really for you, but I know that there's probably somebody in your life. There's a coworker, there's a colleague, there's your kids, there's your cousin, there's your aunt, who's going to be white knuckling sooner rather than later. Because if they got this in the mail or they go to Hobby Lobby, they too will be in a downward spiral as I faced. And for them, I would say there is a wonderful course that you can find on LinkedIn Learning that I created all about burnout. That you can find on LinkedIn or my website. We can send it to you. But again, not so much for you because now you like know these things, but really for that other person in your life. So there's a fun QR code here that if you want to scan it, you can watch for more. Again, it's like 10 minutes or 12 minutes or something, but it'll give you a bit more info and templates to use. Again, if not for you, because we just got the templates together, then perhaps for somebody in your life who also might be white knuckling sooner rather than later. Hopefully this is helpful and I provide helpful information to you. If so, I would love for you to follow me on LinkedIn and get all of my goodness that I put out that is hopefully really, really valuable and helpful for you. So the best way to do that is by pressing the little alarm bell on the right-hand side of my LinkedIn profile. And I would also love for you to keep joining us here because, again, I'm biased, but we're, I think, a really fun bunch who are sharing a lot of great tips and tricks and tactical information. So we meet here every single Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can always go to getcoffeewithkim.com to really see a full list of who we're bringing on and what we're going to be doing. I'm really excited because next week we have Judd Brewer coming on. He kind of reminds me, I'm probably not supposed to say this, but he kind of reminds me of James Clear and like the Atomic Habits. It's all about like habit building and breaking bad habits and, you know, how you can go about that. I think it's really, I think it's really helpful. So I think you also might think it's really helpful. And then we have a reschedule from Amy, who got sick 2 weeks ago and wasn't able to join. She got a little bit of the flu bug. And so we have rescheduled. And she is going to be joining us in 2 weeks after that. And I love her. She is awesome. If you haven't checked out Amy Brand, she is just fantastic with like brain science and the synapses in your brain and how we learn and how we retain things. And I don't know, nerd alert, because I totally love to nerd out on her stuff. And I just think it's so good. So Askill is saying the templates are there for you. If you find it helpful, you can always rewatch this or find it on our website, where we will also put these for you to steal ad nauseum whenever you want. I think that would be really great. And I find them helpful, and hopefully you find them helpful as well. So thank you so much for your time, your attention. I know you have a million things that you could be doing. You could be white knuckling about 20 other things in your life. So the fact that you hung out with us here today for 45 minutes is so encouraging and helpful, and hopefully helpful for you as well. I love being here with you. I learned so much. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I'm so excited to see you next week with my friend Judd to talk about all things habits. So until then, have a beautiful rest of the week, and a little homework assignment. Share that little 10-minute course with somebody who you think might be experiencing burnout or could be experiencing burnout in the future, because sharing is caring, my friend. So good to be with you here today, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Bye.
Whew, that was some good stuff. Thanks for being a part of this week's Coffee with Kim. If podcasts are your thing, subscribe to the show and you'll see a new episode appear next week in your favorite listening app. If you want to be a part of the conversation, join us live on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern over on LinkedIn. You can RSVP at getcoffeewithkim.com. I want you to have your questions answered, because why should I get to have all the fun? And let's be honest, you know how to ask some hard-hitting questions. My guests and I cannot wait to meet you. See you soon.